Hi, gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. People, there's a reason Jesus came. You know, a lot of people like to say, hey, you know, we're living in the last days. It's one of my topics here almost all the time. The time is growing near. Soon Jesus will return. Before this period of time, there's going to be tremendous disasters and terror and horror and things like this. We get to see some idea of what might be happening on the news, like in Dufour, and, you know, we get to see Iraq every day. And something's going to begin to happen inside the United States. The United States just can't be a wonderful free country, democracy, and all this all the way through. Sometimes we get this idea, I guess, that we're immune to Antichrist kingdom, when in actuality, we're kind of heading up the thing. Well, it's still a lot to do with Europe and England and so forth. Some people say we're still actually a colony of England, and we just get this idea that we're not. But, you know, you can find out all kinds of things. The main thing about finding out all kinds of things about the last days of what this government, the other government, how they're working in such a way that eventually, you know, the point of these, how right you are or how wrong you are, the trend is simple enough, and we know the Bible says there's going to be an Antichrist kingdom. So wishing and wanting, praying and all this is not going to make Antichrist's kingdom go away. It's not going to change God's timetable. This is why we have scripture that says that prayer or sin is missing the mark. We're not quite doing what God wants us to do. We're not obeying God. We're praying for something that's not the right thing. We're praying against God's will if we're praying to do something like prevent the Antichrist kingdom. Now, this doesn't mean pray to prevent things that if they came, if God gave them, it would hinder or stop the forward motion of the Antichrist kingdom. Because you still have to have this attitude, basically, is you don't want to see death and destruction and all this, and you want everybody to get saved and so forth and so on. But you have to also know that we're living in the last days, so we got to see things get worse. And they're going to get worse. A lot worse. But because they're going to get worse, and there's going to be terrible things happening right around you. It's not going to be something we flip on the TV to see anymore. We could just look out our window and see it. We can look at our downtown area and see it. In the suburbs, just all around us. Life as we know it is definitely going to change. Exactly when, that's the difficult part. Because there's lots of things happening. Lots of people out there giving really good information about the things that they found out. And the way they put it together, they end up coming with time periods that seem to be good, but the problem is the time period went on. I just downloaded a 65-page book concerning the last days. And I've read a little bit of it already, but basically, it's going to have a lot of the elements that are actually happening here. It's got a lot of documentation. But the interpretation of the time, this is where a monkey wrench is thrown into it. Because no matter, even if they get it right, if they say the government's going to do something by such and such time, if that such and such time is not according to God's plan, it doesn't matter what they do. Antichrist's kingdom is not going to start until the time that God has intended it to start. So this is where we get problem with dating things. A lot of times dating is really good guesses. Star Trek episode once was one of the movies. Spock was concerned because he needed to go from the present day back to their day because they had come back to our day in time. You know how they do time travel, and now they got he's trying to calculate using the sun's gravity and so forth to zap them back into the future again, back to their day. And Spock was a little bit concerned because his calculations, he could not guarantee to be exact. There were some elements that would be in the area of guessing. And the doctor, of course, told Spock, well, you know, the captain considers your guesses better than any human facts. And of course, Spock said, well, then I guess I will give it my best guess. Well, we're giving it our best guess if we use any dates. The probability appears to, if we go by what we are learning, that a date will happen at such a time. People have a lot of problems, especially if they want to say this is the exact date. Because that date will come and go. Yeah? The book that I got down had a lot of good stuff, but it also was saying that by the late 1990s, things would be very different. Well, the 1990s are way gone. You know, we're way on our way to 2010 already, just a few years away here. And so we right away know that whoever it is that wrote this book and did his good, wonderful research, interpreted it and guessed a date that has come and gone. Now, maybe it really would have been, because we know that we were right on the brink of lots of things throughout time, vastly changing our life as we know it. But it seems like something always happens which make that date come and go. And most of us just live in our, go to work, go to play, go home, sleep, watch TV, don't know anything different. And so we don't know how close to the brink we've been, except occasionally we hear this. And so we got a lot of people out there guessing. It doesn't mean that you look, see, these people are not necessarily prophesizing, so you don't look at them as a false prophet. You have to understand they're giving their best guess. And maybe they're misinterpreting and believing their best guess is pretty close to fact. So a lot of stuff, you have to glean out stuff that is solid. We know that they are FEMA camps, which are slave labor re-education camps. We know martial law will happen and the Constitution of the United States will suspend. We've had various presidents which had the power to declare this. George Bush has the most precise power with the least number of obstacles. They just need two signatures, his and Rice's. And then the Constitution is suspended and we're in martial law. It's the easiest for Bush to go to martial law. And he's got lots of reasons to do it, at least by us that are out here looking at him and guessing. By our really good facts that we got, he's got a lot of stuff. You know, he wants to stay in power and everything. He wants to stay the course or whatever it is that you're saying. Well, he might figure out that the way to do that is to suspend the Constitution. And that can happen any time that he's still in power. It could have happened with Clinton. He could have also did that. But instead, we had the regular transition. You see, these individuals do not have the say. There's somebody further up. And somebody's up in this elite group, they says, we can't do it now. No matter how much you want to, if Bush really wants to, you know, He's not going to be able to do it because he's got a boss. Probably his daddy. His daddy was pretty high up, but his daddy also had bosses. The real bosses, we probably don't know their names. Even the most searching out that people have done in trying to find secrets about the New World Order, so, to sum all this up, the most elite of the elite, who we don't know their names, generally speaking, we might know their names, but we have no idea their connection. Something happens. Events don't happen the way they wanted. Who knows? They change their plans. Well, you see, there's some things that if Christians would look, that want to look to see about the last days, and they want to kind of try to narrow down a date, there's a couple of things they need to keep in mind. The Bible's still there. And the events it says is going to take place still have to take place. You can't take a shortcut. Antichrist kingdom can't start tomorrow, even if they're ready. And they are ready. They can do it now. There's a few things they would like to happen. There's lots of things they'd like to happen, but they are ready to make it work today. But they're going to go as long as they can to get as much support until they're right at the time where there's no more choice of waiting. But they cannot do it until God says, now I'll let you do it. Because God also has some plans. You study all of the New World Order stuff in the New Age, you go all the way back 5,000 years, then you go back in the 1,000 year in Adam's day. Then you know, Adam wasn't made, you know. The dirt there was already still on the ground that God was going to form into his body. It was just now the fishes were starting and the trees and stuff. A little before that, there wasn't anything. It was kind of dark and just water. But before that, you know, there was no, the sun was out there. There was things out there, which there are vague reference to in the Bible. And there's lots of facts, or at least lots of evidence, to say that before Adam and the earth was covered with water, and then soon after that God made dry land, made all the animals and fishes and plants, then made Adam. Well, you could step back further, and there's an information you can get that is pretty, it's like there's a book in Christianity called Evidence Demands a Verdict. There's enough evidence that should prove God, and it demands a verdict. Each person must decide. Well, there is enough evidence that shows the universe in our solar system was teeming with life, and it came to an end with great destructions at the hand of God. And there is stories and information and evidences and so forth. And there is a schedule of events that takes place. God gives this period of time 7,000 years. In church we're taught that you have the time where the seconds tick, last 7,000 years. Then you have eternity past and you have eternity present. And during this 7,000 years, things happen. And God's plan, see, when this is over, we're going to have access to information, because God knew what was going to happen. Some people say, well, it's fate. We're going to be what we're going to be. No, we're making our choices. We've given free choice. God just knew what choices that we were going to make so he can write it down. Because he knew this is what we were going to do. He didn't make us do this. He didn't, as it were, ordain it to happen. He foreknew. In the 7,000-year plan, he's got all the books, and he writes down what he foreknew, and you're going to know that he didn't make you do anything. He just knew these are the things that were going to happen. Because he's showing that he's God and all that, and good, and all this kind of stuff, all the goody things that the reasons that we should make the choice for him, because he first loved us and set this time so we can have eternal life with him. And so, as we search out the times, we can look at any given time in the last few decades that we are at the point that Antichrist kingdom can start. We were moments away from any kind of nuclear war. We were, you know, lots of kind of stuff could happen. But it didn't. And it's not. So you can look around and see all these documentaries on extraordinary disasters here in Seattle. Rainier is going to go up, and at that time there's going to be a 9 or 10 point earthquake. Tsunami's going to come over. It's not going to be a pretty sight here. And they say it could happen, we're overdue and all that, or within the right time frame. And people get visions of this happening, and on and on and on. So they could say, God said it's going to happen. But timing is what's important. It's not going to happen until certain things go on. And one of the things that's going to go on that has to happen is the schedule that God set for the time that Jesus is going to return. And so this means that Antichrist can't make it happen sooner. So as mankind out there trying to make the New World Order happen sooner, it won't happen. I'm rattling on here quite a while trying to make the point that don't get excited about people making the wrong dates. Most do the best they can. A lot are trying to trick you, to get scare you so you get saved. And this is not a way to come to Jesus. It's get scared so you come to Jesus, because you fear that maybe tomorrow the world's going to end. One of the key signs that the time is really getting a place to, so that dating it really can be relatively accurate, is when the two witnesses begin to begin their ministry. It will be a worldwide TV event or something which everybody in the world will know. It's something that they do. They stop the rain. Christians will know it. Even if they weren't watching TV, they will know something dramatic happened, because they're Christian. And when you're a Christian and you accept Jesus, something for the last 2,000 years we had was this water stuff. The former rain, the latter rain, and I say the mist in between. We had this feeling that we could feel saved. We feel connected to Jesus. We feel Jesus is there. We have this uncanny thing that we say, well, we know that we're saved and Jesus is here. This is hardwire, as it were. The water is making, it's a conduit, making this solid connection to Jesus so that we don't have to think that he's forsaken us, even though maybe we'll think so at times, because the times are pretty bad. We say, Jesus, why aren't you doing this? All the while, we still know he's standing right there. He's just not doing anything, but we know he's there. The two witnesses are going to say to this thing, the water, to stop. So Christians will definitely feel a sudden stoppage of feeling connected to Jesus. It really will feel like Jesus turned his back on you. He didn't, because he said he won't. This is where your faith comes in. This is where your faith truly kicks in for the first time in 2,000 years. Because no Christian, no matter how born again, no matter how spirit-filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit or whatever, has ever experienced a time that they didn't have this water connection to Jesus Christ. But the two witnesses, this is the symbolism of they will turn off the rain. They're going to turn off. They're going to unplug you from Jesus. This doesn't mean that now, I mean, he's forsaken you or something else. This doesn't mean you lose the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What it means is you suddenly really, really do have to live by faith. It is really faith. And you have to make sure you get that kick started, because it's not going to be a fun time to suddenly feel like Jesus forsook you. And there's going to be, you know, bang, 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 right in a row. When that happens, this is going to, it's just like a chain reaction happens. You're going to feel like Jesus forsake you. Information is going to be flooded on the TV screen and various other kinds of stuff saying, hey, guess what? We discovered all kinds of this and that and the other thing, and here's the proof that Jesus isn't who he said he was. Here's the proof the Bible isn't accurate or something else. Here's the proof that we misinterpreted, and so forth and so on. It's going to be bam, 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 right in a row. You're not going to have a good time. Then the technology, NASA, the government, worldwide is going to be start zapping out this thing, beaming out, or whatever you want to call it, satellites in the sky that could project things onto the sky, using the sky as a monitor, and various kinds of stuff is going to happen. One, two, three, right in a row, and it's going to shock you. The attack is on your five senses. We like to go to little places and in this little place where the terrain is just right, and watch the little shed there, and watch water flow uphill or something, and watch balls roll uphill and various other kind of stuff. You know, it's a tall person and a short person, they change sides, and the tall person becomes shorter than the short person. We like to trick our senses. We have lots of little games to trick our senses. Well, it's not going to be a game. They're going to directly affect your senses so that you believe that man over there is Antichrist after all. People, you need to know these things are going to happen. To know that when Jesus is coming, so you don't get fooled or tricked, you have to know that the two witnesses have to turn off the water. So you at least feel like Jesus forsook you. And at this point, there's a fact. The two witnesses have not even met each other. So then they meet each other. How'd I get here? Then the cycle begins. I call it 2.5 years that they need to at least know each other before they actually begin their ministry. And then the rapture can, the tribulation can begin. And all Christians will go through the tribulation at least 1260 days. I call it the spacing of the church time. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him right now and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now you have to read the King James Version. All other versions are from Westcott and Hort. Study them, and you'll understand why the King James Version is the real Bible. And ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And get ready, people. Times are changing. See you next